everybody. This is Dan Jarms, and this is the podcast, One Simple Truth. On One Simple Truth, we take issues that are pressing on us today, and we respond to them, we think about them, we act on them according to God's all-sufficient word. We have God's word help us think through how to honor him with various issues that are in our lives. In the month of October, we're talking about the Christian's role in government, politics, political activism. We've laid some foundations, and now we're talking about some actual issues. Today, I want to talk about the issue of what Christians do when they disagree on politics. And it's going to be a vital topic for us because we often find ourselves disagreeing, and we're wondering what we are supposed to do about that. Grab your cup of coffee. I think one of the first things we need to recognize is that we need to have civil discourse, and a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, something to snack on over a table, I think is a great way to have civil discourse. And I've got the afternoon dark roast from Costco. Okay, what do we do when Christians disagree on politics? Just right out of the gate, I'm going to tell you, even on our pastoral staff, we are going to have a variety of views about certain political issues and what we should do about them. But we have to remember this, that we've been saying it all along. Our ultimate identity is with Christ in heaven. So Philippians is really an ideal book to think about when it comes to political differences, because the Apostle Paul gives us our greatest identity, which is with Christ in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. So with that, we have more in common with a person who has who is a believer than a person who has the same political views of us who's not a believer. We could be down the line politically with somebody who's an unbeliever, but have less in common with somebody who is very different from us politically who's a believer, because believers have Christ in common. Believers have eternity in common. We're going to spend eternity together. So it's important to keep that in mind. And I think of the best example for it, if you want a visual for it, we all need to be able to sit at communion and take communion together and feel the genuine bond of unity that comes in Christ. And that would eclipse differences of politics on earth. And if you can't get there, then we should probably be asking some heart questions or some topical questions. And I'll lead into those in just a minute. All right. Now, the next thing that I think, and here's some wisdom principles that we walk into and that we should think about. First of all, we have general agreement on most issues that are going to show up. We all want to uphold justice. Christians all want to uphold justice. We all want to love our neighbor. We all want to be caring to the poor. We all want to protect the innocent. We all want to protect Christian freedoms. And by that, I mean we want to uphold them and use political means to uphold Christian freedoms. And we want peace. We don't want war when we can avoid war. So these would all be generally agreed on principles. But it's the how we deal with them or how we carry them out is often where there's a great difficulty. And we have this wrong idea that everybody must agree not only on the what, but also the how. And the reason why we often disagree on the how is because the how is variable, and there are multiple sides and multiple facets to any how of what we do. Let's call it a policy. Whatever policy you use and you try to lay out, in some sense, there's going to be winners and losers. There's going to be people who benefit from a policy, and there's going to be people hurt by a policy, or there's going to be people ignored by a policy. And you're trying to uphold the greatest good possible, and often that's debatable. And then we don't have omniscience about how policies affect other parts of life. And so this is the ongoing part of of the political process. Let me take just a couple of examples. For instance, where we're going to have general agreement that abortion is murder. We're going to have general agreement that the LGBTQ agenda, when it comes to gay marriage or transgender issues or that, the Bible's going to speak to them in a pretty straightforward way. I'm going to talk about those in the next couple of days. Issues like euthanasia. Christians are going to be anti-racism. They're going to read their Bibles. They're going to read Galatians 3, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free. We're all one in Christ. They're going to read those things, recognizing there's still differences in people, but that we are unified. So Christians are going to be, if they're following the Bible, they're going to be anti-racism. They're going to be anti-oppression, but how they're going to do that might be different. And that's where we have our challenges or our difficulties. So let's just illustrate this with the issue on race and racism. So racism has very prominent in the political scene right now. And as it should be, places where racism exists or policies that promote racist and racial oppression ought to be dealt with. But you might have one Christian who looks at the presidential candidates, for instance, and looks at the way that one candidate doesn't do enough about racial issues and is very frustrated about that candidate. You have a person who likes their candidate and doesn't like the solutions of against racism that another candidate. So if we're going to just name names, it appears that Donald Trump doesn't say enough against racism, and it appears that Joe Biden wants to say more against racism. So if race is a particular issue that your family is feeling, you're seeing family members or fellow people of color, Christians of color, experiencing racism, you might have some specific feelings about that. And how we deal with racism between one party and another party might be different, but there's going to be universal dislike for racism across the board. And so it's going to show up in a church setting where somebody is pro-Trump, but somebody who is anti-racism feels very frustrated that Trump supporters seem deaf to the race issue, and there's a frustration. Well, the Trump supporter might be absolutely anti-racism, but they don't think that the Biden solution is very good or that it's married to so many other issues that are wrong that is difficult. And vice versa it goes. So we must be patient with another person's view on the race issue. We're all going to be anti-racism, but we may not all think of solving it the same way. And that's an issue that requires, I think, patience. How would we do that? I think the Apostle Paul, again, sets for us a helpful paradigm in 1 Corinthians 13. And we see in our culture less and less of this, even among Christians. So 1 Corinthians 13, 4, let's just read it out. This is how we are to be treating each other. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Here would be a model for us as we step into political dialogue. We would want to hear people out, understand what they're thinking, be patient with them if they have a different opinion than we do. We would want to be kind and show goodwill and generosity, treat them like family. We wouldn't want to be rude, or we wouldn't want to be arrogant. The other way of talking about that, I watched the Trump-Pence debate a couple weeks ago, and it was so cringy. It was so painful because Trump was so rude in speaking over Biden, so much so that Biden joined the game. And by the end of it, it was an atrocious thing. And you saw rudeness. Well, Christians do that online on social media. They don't hear each other out. They just want to attack. There is a rudeness often. I don't want to say that there's never patience. I see a lot of Christians behaving in these manners on social media and responses. But this is something we have to watch out for. Not insisting on my own way recognizes that there may be another way to approach a political situation than my way. It's not irritable or resentful when somebody, I'm not irritable or resentful when somebody thinks differently about how to solve a political problem than I do. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. So when my wife calls me on this often enough, when I listen to somebody and they use sarcasm, a put down, a belittling comment, and I kind of think, oh yeah, that person's right for getting that belittling comment. And she would say, so when is it ever right to belittle someone else? When is it ever right to use resort to name calling? So we don't rejoice in wrongdoing. So when I'm sinful in my response, somebody shouldn't say, here, good job to that, or vice versa. So we shouldn't rejoice in wrongdoing. No, we should rejoice in the truth. And then we should be bearing with each other. We should believe the best of what the others are thinking. We should be hoping for the same kinds of things. We should be enduring with each other. So these kinds of things should shape our Christian interaction when we have different views on politics. And we should be able to talk passionately, yet compassionately, about the concerns or the issues that others bring up. So they may have a different take on how to solve something, but you could acknowledge that you too would want a good solution for the benefit of all people. So what do we do when Christians disagree on politics? I think we can take 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 as a paradigm for talking through political differences. And praying for God to intervene so that we could have solutions that promote justice for all. That's one simple truth today. Tomorrow, we're going to get into some specific topics. I'm going to talk about abortion and compassionate but passionate stance on it. We're going to talk about the LGBTQ agenda, and we're going to start talking about various political parties' stances on those so that we can think through things in a biblical perspective. That's one simple truth.